Stranger Still podcast. I'm Kathleen.
And I'm Miles.
Rewatching every episode of Stranger Things ahead of the May and July two-part release of season four.
It's been 3 years. Let's catch up together. Follow us at StrangerStill22 on Twitter. Subscribe, review on Spotify, Anchor, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts. Okay. Just so you nerds are aware, we're supposed to be spending the night at Tina's, so we'll review this episode. But if we aren't home by Uncle Jack's party, Chapter 5, Season 3, The Flayed.
So we start off with Robin, Steve, Dustin, and Erica plummeting down into the depths of the earth in the elevator. It finally suddenly stops, and they're like freaking out. What's going on? Oh, my God. Erica's pissed that they've gotten her into this situation. And just as Miles started off the episode, if I don't get back for
Uncle Jack's party,
there will be hell to pay.
Yeah, she says that her mom is going to hunt them down one by one and slit their throats. So Lucas is the only things we know about Lucas's mom so far is that she's never wrong, son, and that she will hunt these teenagers down one by one and slit their throats.
I love it. And Dustin advises let's just climb up through this hatch. Maybe we can climb out. And obviously that's not going to work because they're like stories below ground. And they don't know what to do from there. And then we hop over to Hopper and Joyce.
Hop over to Hopper. At the Hess farm.
Nicely done. So last we saw, they were checking out all the properties that they got from the mayor, and they finally come up on one. You see a truck and a trailer with the links on the side. They walk in. The light bulbs are like pulsing. They hear noise coming from the floor. They find a trap door. They go down, and there's this scientist with like another, you know, his sidekick,
like a repairman.
Mm-hmm. And they're like, what the heck is this? And then of course that Russian brute guy arrives, and they hear him walk up. And
I like how you call him the Russian brute. I've been calling him the Russian Terminator.
That's nice. Russian Terminator. He's tough. I don't know. I call him the brute because he's the strong arm, you know. Mm-hmm. He's just like, you know, holding the operation together. Big old guy.
I mean, in my view, they have went full Terminator with this guy, especially in this scene. So he comes down and the repairman is tied up and he doesn't see anybody else. And he gets a gun to the back of his head. Hopper is telling him to drop the gun. The Russian Terminator is saying, you won't do it because policemen have rules. He's going to count to three.
And he counts to three, and he actually does it. But
What did you think about that? The Hopper was going to, like, blow that guy's brains out.
He's not messing around anymore. He's gone through, like, a year and a half of hell, basically. And he's done. I mean, this guy beat him up the last time they encountered each other. That's it. This is clearly a bad guy, and he's going to take him down if he has to.
Yeah, Hopper's in love with Joyce, so he's kind of taken on a bit of her. He is out of 10, as Joyce is always out of 10.
But he should be out of 10. I mean, they are going through hell.
And they know that there's real stuff going on here.
Mm-hmm.
They know it.
Yep. So, this is where we pick up Alexia. Him and the Russian brute fight again. Joyce tries to help, throws the gun to the Russian guy.
Come on, Joyce. Biggest moment, she throws the gun way over Hopper's head. But I do like that. Again, these are not superheroes. And they are bad at this.
This is probably the hardest fail we've seen so far from Joyce. I mean, she's been kicking butt, and then she just hard fail in this moment.
And Hopper doesn't like yell at her. He just says, oh, shit. But yeah, I laughed out loud at that part. I completely forgot about that. One of the best, funniest moments of the series to me.
So funny. And they realize they're not going to be able to get out of this. So they just make a run for it. They take Alexia and they leave. They barely get out of there alive. The guy's like shooting up their car.
Again, typical. This is typical 1980s. We talked about the red hunks of flaming human meat. The other typical 1980s action movie thing is that machine guns are like the least effective weapons ever. Like, how can he not shoot them with this machine gun?
Right?
He has gone through like 40 rounds.
How has he missed every single round?
Presumably, he hits the repairman. You know when they get in the fight and the assault rifle's just going in circles as they spin around?
It actually shoots and kills the repairman.
No, we never see him. Somebody had to be hit.
Well,
I'm going to go ahead and say that repairman is dead, unless we see him later.
That guy's down for the count.
And then we get to the car and Joyce, drive!
And they're like arguing. They're just bickering back and forth. It's like, you know, intense, but it's also just really funny. I love it.
And Hopper says, still thinks it was our government. You didn't like that. You were like, what do you think? You muttered something under your breath when we were watching it. What was it?
I did. Because, like, at least she thought it was something. He was prepared to think that absolutely nothing was going on. And Joyce is like, no, something is happening here. Of course, she thought it was their government, but who cares? At least she led them to this.
That's good. Yeah. I think Joyce is more responsible for this revelation than Hopper. Totally agree. All right.
Damn straight she is.
Let's keep going as the Russian Terminator hunts down Hopper, Joyce, and Alexei as they walk through the woods.
Bickering yet again. Yeah.
Hopper has dubbed him Smirnoff. Joyce calls him by his name, Alexei. I love that.
Is
that
it Alexei or Alexia?
Alexei. Oh, and I love that through... Oh, I thought you just mixed it with Alexa. Anyway, I love that theme through the series, that Joyce is treating this guy like a human with a name. Hopper is treating him like Smirnoff.
I love it. And we find out they're headed to find a Russian interpreter so they can see what the hell this scientist is doing.
Somebody in Illinois, they say. Oh, we forgot about the Bronco. The Bronco is on
explodes.
The fritz and explodes, and Alexei saves their lives. So we, or at least their burned bodies, their burned skin.
So it's like, so we know he a good guy or is he a bad guy?
Yeah,
or just kind of a guy in this situation?
Well, we don't know yet, but I think we get that little hint there. This isn't a pure evil Russian scientist. They show up to 7-Eleven. They go right to the cases, and they start drinking New Coke. And New Coke is getting a ton of screen time in this Stranger Things season 3.
New Coke.
So
what does that mean?
And like what Mrs. Wheeler's drinking at the pool and what they're, you know, what Joyce, Hopper, and Alexei are drinking the 7-Eleven is what they called New Coke. It was a new formula that they ran all these commercials for in the mid 80s. Mm-hmm. And Coca-Cola had reinvented itself. It was a new thing. And everyone hated it. Everyone hated it. But it actually was praised as a sort of anti-marketing campaign, because when they brought back regular Coke, everyone was so thrilled that they bought a bunch of Coke.
Oh,
so can you really say it was a failed marketing campaign? Okay. There's some cool stuff about it. But anyway, the new Coke formula is all over this. And they seem to be enjoying it.
Yeah.
I mean,
how much money do you think that the Duffer brothers got for putting so much Coca-Cola into this episode?
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure it's Netflix getting the money, but we talked about this actually in the early season 1. Technically, they don't take money for product placement.
Work?
So what Netflix says is that we don't take money for product placement, but we do license our name out to companies such as Coke so they can put Stranger Things on their cans. It just happens to cost a lot of money, and maybe we throw in an appearance or two, so it's like it's backwards on the books.
Okay.
Right. Anyway, so 7-Eleven, Hopper and this guy pulls up at the gas station.
Todd is his name, and Hopper's like, we're gonna take that car. It's official, you know, police business. We've got to commandeer your car. This is a dangerous man. Play along with me, dude.
Yeah.
I love that. It's so ridiculous. I'm pretty sure, now I don't remember what happens, but I'm pretty sure Hopper's got to be, you know, on the verge of losing his job at this point.
He doesn't have to do this. Joyce is like on the phone with somebody.
Yeah, no, Joyce is on the phone with Mrs. Wheeler checking in on Will.
Okay, but still, I mean, Joyce has made contact with the outside world. They don't need to steal someone's car.
Right, but who are they going to call? Ghostbusters.
I don't know. Okay. Well, good point. Good point. So they commandeer the Todd father's car. That's what the license plate
Who's
says.
Who's pissed?
Yeah. We get the shot of while Hopper is saying that this is a child murderer, Alexi is taken to the what the contents of 7-Eleven was. He loved the Coke. He loved the Slurpee.
Oh, he's sitting there just enjoying. Chugging down that Slurpee directly from the machine.
And when he's sipping on it while Hopper's describing him as a child murderer, and he's just looking so, super so happy. Innocent. That's a meme. That's a common meme right there.
I love that. But then, you know, in the distance, after they peel off, you see the Russian guy, the Russian brute, as I like to affectionately call him. And he's been tracking them. He comes down to the 7-Eleven, strong arms the cashier, and he's on the hunt. So from there, they arrive at none other than the journalist Murray's house.
Murray Bauman. We get a replay of that scene with Jonathan and Nancy.
Still can't find the camera.
Joyce and Hopper also don't know where the camera is.
Oh, I love this scene. I love Murray. He's so funny. He's so intuitive. He's like so crazy. You know, he lets them in. He speaks Russian. Mm-hmm. You have a little exchange between them.
Yeah. Like, why is... Okay. Are you talking about the exchange between Murray and Alexi?
Yeah.
When he points a shotgun right at his face?
Yes.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. And then Joyce and Murray have their interaction where Joyce is like, she thinks this guy's a psychopath.
I mean, he is kind of like a little bit crazy.
He does like really stick to, he needs the last name of Alexi.
But she's had enough though. She's been traveling through the woods, bickering with Hopper, waiting for answers that she's not getting. And she tells Murray off, listen, you're going to, you know, do what we tell you to. You're going to just start asking questions so I can figure out what happened to my damn magnets. I love it.
I love his face when that's what she says. He's just like, what?
And then Hopper's like, well,
I mean, technically,
guess you have to listen to the gal.
All right, you want to pop over to the Scoops Ahoy troop?
Yeah, so Dustin's been trying to reach everybody on the walkie radio. Now that it's the next day, they've been trapped down in that elevator all night. But then they hear a noise outside the elevator. Workers have arrived. They open the door to take some shipments out. And Steve is like, ooh, I've got a good idea. Let me take this goo bottle and use it to prop the door open. And they manage to get through just before it explodes and you find out it's acid.
Oh, man. I mean... That was intense. I don't like the elevator door thing pressing down while they slid under it. I was like,
it's a very real risk. If you ever get caught in an elevator between floors, you're never supposed to crawl out because at any point the elevator could drop down and like chop your body in half.
But the goo holds and they see this massive corridor, just this huge long hallway. And they're like, what, are we under the mall? Like, this is just crazy.
And how long do you think that hallway is? Because it looks super long.
It's like miles. It looks like it's miles. That's me. No, but it looks like it's very, very long. You know, the scale of all of this is so ridiculous and so
absolutely
cool.
Absolutely,
you know,
ridiculous.
We may have started our Stranger Things journey as Steven Spielberg and Stephen King, but we have really expanded out. We have gone from Joyce and Hopper, they're in the Terminator, Dustin, Steve, Robin, and Erica, they are in Red Dawn.
Oh.
You know, Red the Dawn. Small town taken over by the USSR, mm-hmm. A huge big conspiracy. The whole tone of the show is changing, and that's okay. You know, we're changing with the kids. Mm-hmm. We already talked about at length that we can't just do another season where they are kids and they defeat the upside down. So we're in a different place and I'm okay with that. But they got to start walking.
Yep. So they're walking. They're starting to theorize as to what the Russians are doing. Meanwhile, Steve and Dustin lag behind and they're thinking, do they know about the upside down? Is this what this is about?
Yeah, I like that because Robin's like, why of all places?
Right. And then they finally arrive at the very end of the corridor and they see it's like this entire military operation. They're like, oh, shit, how are we going to get out of here? So
again, people that are on some payroll somewhere with some housing and presumably families, where are all these people coming from?
Nobody knows. Nobody knows. Oh,
can I talk about one more thing while they're in the hall?
No.
when Dustin is talking about, you have to admit, this is at least, no. You have to admit.
I love you didn't even wait.
You have to admit this is a feat of engineering alone. And he's like really impressed with this. And Erica is not impressed.
No.
She's like, no, the communists, if you don't pay people, they cut corners.
I love that. She's so funny. I'm telling you, she's one of my favorite characters. She's just hilarious. She has these really fun, hilarious lines. But I mean, and then we get to the end of the corridor and they're like, oh, I saw the comm room. How did you see that?
I know, she's,
oh,
I saw
you know,
it.
Somebody came through and I just saw a bunch of flashing buttons really quick. Dustin's like, that could be anything.
But they go there. It does appear to be the comms room when they arrive.
It is comms room.
And Robin tries to, there's one guard in there. Robin tries to throw him off his game by basically saying the code back to him.
She's damn good.
It doesn't work, though.
No,
so Steve has got to fight him.
He's
and Steve
finally succeeded.
Wins a fight. I love Dustin's like, Steve!
Super pumped.
You won a fight! Steve does a little flip. A little flip of the, what does he grab there?
I don't
some
know.
Sort of
he
instrument.
Does that a lot throughout the entire series. Season one, season two. You see him do these little cool flips, like showing that he is the cool guy.
I like it.
And then so Robin turns around and she sees some stairs leading up. She sees a mysterious light. They go up and it's the new and improved machine. And it is opening that rip back up.
Russians.
As Dustin and Steve look on in horror.
Yep.
And Erica and Robin look on in They have no idea.
And
what
grave
it is.
Concern. Erica's face is very serious there. It was nice to see, like, Erica's been a walking punchline. It was nice to get some human, like, concern Real. There from Erica.
Yeah.
I mean, she is, like, 10. She's, like, the youngest of all of them, right?
Oh, yeah. She's the younger sister who's way cooler than her older brother.
Okay. Let's go over to the kids. The kids.
So Jonathan wakes up to an annoyingly ringing phone, and it's Nancy. She tells him about Doris Driscoll, and then she asks to talk to Will. Is he safe? Why wouldn't he be safe?
That was a chilling line reading from Jonathan. I want to give him a shout out. He really, like, read, I don't know, I can't do it.
Well, he's had such a boring part this entire season.
But he just, like, I mean, from his apathy for four chapters, he's in once he gets that Will touch point. That's what gets Jonathan going.
Yep. So they go to meet up with the party.
Yeah. I love that before they arrive to the party, Eleven is spying. She's trying to find Hopper because they need help. They need adults. And Eleven is listening in on the Joyce and Hopper conversation where Hopper says, we're walking to Illinois. And Eleven, because she doesn't quite pick up on that sarcasm, relays that they are going to Illinois through the woods.
And she doesn't even know what Illinois is.
Yeah, she said Illinois.
Illinois. And so they're like, they're thinking like, oh, they're going on some sort of vacation.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess we're on our own. I guess we need to take down the Mind Flayer ourselves.
Yeah, but Mike knows something's up because that doesn't match Hopper's, like, you know, how intense Hopper was about the whole purpose in Hopper's life was to keep them apart earlier. He wouldn't just go on vacation right now. But I just love that. Eleven has this great superpower. She can track anybody, but her weakness is she doesn't have those social ramifications, social skills to really relate that.
She doesn't have
that.
The experience of the world yet.
She says, it's just so funny. I love that. But they ultimately know something is wrong, and they're going to go to Heather's house because they've now confirmed Heather is probably one of the flayed.
Yes.
Did I skip some stuff?
Yes.
What did I skip?
Yes. So.
Okay, before they go to Heather House, they.
So Nancy and Jonathan arrive.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And they.
Thank you.
So that's when they start filling each other in. I love that they're finally coming back together. Yay! Now we're just missing Dustin and Steve. That's when Eleven, like, is explaining Heather, that Heather was played in as well.
Okay.
And Nancy and Jonathan make that connection.
Oh,
Tom's daughter, Heather.
Okay.
He must be played too. And that's when they're like, okay, we need to go to Heather's house.
Thank you. Thank you for covering all that.
in such a graceful way, I know.
Yeah. So they get to Heather's house. It's abandoned. There's a smell. Eleven opens the door up, and there's all these cleaning supplies and everything all over the mm-hmm. place. You know, we talked last episode about Billy's body. You know, can he can absorb more punishment than others? We didn't really remember, but truly, yes, they can, because a body can't drink.
Yeah, and
cleaning supplies.
And they're drinking it. And it's mentioned by Lucas. He says mm-hmm. something along those lines, too. The Mind Flayer can.
Yeah.
When they're exactly. like, how are they drinking this?
Yeah. And Max.
Wouldn't it kill him? Or yeah.
Yeah. And Max calls out, but Will wasn't drinking cleaning supplies. So we know there's something slightly different. Yeah.
What
about
if they're
this.
Making something?
They're building what they seek. yeah. But I do like this whole scene as they kind of piece it all together. Gonna complain about the flashbacks again. We just saw it. We don't need to see it again. Anyway, you go talk about Will's good idea.
I like this because Nancy is doing all this investigation and she's mm-hmm. discovering all this stuff, and she is fitting that annoying pet name that the mean journalist gave her, Nancy Drew.
Nancy Drew.
She's truly living up to the Nancy Drew, you know, nickname, and she's figuring stuff out. She yeah. is on the trail.
But Will has the best idea, which is, why don't we release Mrs. Driscoll and follow her?
Yep. So they decide, okay, we're going to go to the hospital. So they arrive at the hospital. The kids stay downstairs. Nancy and Jonathan head up, and it's like deserted. Oh, yeah.
Can I say something about that?
No. Yes. Sorry.
Two visitors at a time. Nancy, take 11.
Yeah.
Don't take Jonathan. Take 11.
Why she thought it would be better to take Jonathan, who will ever know? It was definitely the wrong choice, because yeah. they get up there and Mrs. Driscoll's gone. Tom arrives and he's clearly no longer Tom at that point.
Yeah, he's got blood all over his hands and stuff.
The other journalist arrives and, you know, they both start getting chased. You know, Jonathan's getting the crap beat out of him. Mm-hmm. Nancy's running away from the other journalist. Stuff is going down.
Yeah, and they're just, I mean, these are brutal fights and they get split up. And while this is a true horror movie here, we're at the top level of a hospital. Things have gone wrong. There's
lights
blood. There's
flashing.
Fight. There's zombies basically flayed.
Yep.
We lights are flashing. We go from that to the waiting room.
Yeah.
To a little doot.
And everybody's making up.
Yeah.
Lucas and Max are laughing and playing together. Mike and Elle are finally making up. She knocks down all of the stuff from the vending machine so yeah. they can all have snacks while they wait.
Dude, that's the olive branch. The what? You are hopeless. I love Lucas.
And then, of course, it flashes back to upstairs and Jonathan is literally, he's getting pounded by this chair. How is he going to make it out of here alive? And Nancy hides. She grabs a fire extinguisher and starts beating that mm-hmm. other journalist. And because of the hive mind, it's affecting the other guy just in time, who's about to kill Jonathan.
Yeah, I loved that.
The other guy, Tom. Yeah,
yeah, they split up, but their fights are still connected.
It's they're fighting the same person.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I thought that was really cool and really interesting.
And it's just in time because she's beating his face and then Jonathan stabs Tom in the throat with scissors.
And they
but
die.
But that's not the end.
That's
oh, yeah.
The, end.
The hosts die.
The hosts die, and mm-hmm. they start to goo up, as I call it. Blob up, my brothers.
I think I call them goo, too. Goo. The alive goo.
And they become two meat blobs that start walking around. Jonathan and Nancy just slowly walking behind these meat blobs as they go down the hallway.
Not running. Why wouldn't you run?
Yeah. You should run away. You should run away. But, you know, hey, they're intrepid reporters, right?
Meanwhile, those moments, mm-hmm. When was it that Will could sense that something was wrong?
Oh, yeah. It flashes back so many times back and forth. It's hard to...
I think it's the moment when she's beating him in the face.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think when she gets the upper hand with the fire extinguisher... The lights start to flicker across the whole hospital. I don't know that Will really feels it on his neck as much as he sees just all the shit going down on the lights.
Oh, I felt like he felt it in a way.
Will's the only one paying attention anyway. Max and Lucas are throwing candy into each other's mouths. Mike and Elle are sharing candy and making up. Just a couple of quick actual direct cuts here. From 11 handing Mike the M&Ms and 11 smiling into his eyes, we flash directly to a dead nurse and Nancy and Jonathan running for their lives.
Yeah.
And then earlier, we go from what's the blonde guy? So there's Tom and
I don't know his name. I'm
Gary
just calling
Busey's son.
The mean journalist.
Gary Busey's son.
Okay.
And that's true. That actually is his son. Okay. He's like, he's going to get them and chasing down the stairwell. We go directly from the stairwell to Lucas throwing candy into Max's mouth. Like, I love these cuts.
They do that in earlier seasons as well. Like when Nancy's losing her virginity to Steve and Barb is getting attacked by the Demogorgon.
Exactly.
I mean, and you see it somewhere else. It definitely comes up a couple times. They're really good at doing that contrast there.
Yeah. So they get to the meat blobs and the meat blobs combine and they form a more structurally sound creature that has teeth.
Who turns into a mini meat flare.
A mini meat flare. And he roars and we cut to credits.
Ew. And that is the one disgusting creature right there. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't want that to touch me with a 9-foot pole.
What about a 9.5-foot pole?
Still hard no.
All right. Every episode ends with a feeler moment, a music moment, and a final question.
And my feeler moment is Mike and Elle when they're making up. Mm. It's just so sweet. I mean, because they've already kind of said their pieces. Mike's already apologized and told Elle why she was lying. Elle has explained that, you know, maybe she should be spending more time with girls and not just with Mike, but they were still not ready to forgive each other at that moment. But here they are. And it's just this like young, inexperienced tenderness where they're coming back together. They're both shy and sweet. And it's just a really cute, cute scene. I like it a lot.
I like that too. I like that.
I like that too.
I like that too. I like that they have room to do this. That the kids are kind of left away from the action in this one episode. This is an incredibly action-packed episode.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, we get the gunfight at the farm, the Todd father, you know, the whole car fire. We get the elevator plummeting. Steve's fighting the Russians. We got these horror scenes with Jonathan and Nancy in the hospital. And yet, despite that, we got these sweet waiting room scenes with the kids.
Interspersed with, like, blood and guts.
Stranger
so
Things.
So cute.
All right, music moment. Music moment is when the Scoops troupe has identified what's actually happening here. They're looking in on the Russian, you know, electrifying machine that's opening the gate. And we hear a track called Portal Drill. And we do hear this track in the very first scene of season 3. We first hear the Red Army is the Strongest, sung by the Red Choir. And then it builds into this theme, which mixes sort of this Russian march, this Russian melody with a lot of minor notes in it, with the upside down, the modulations. You know, the Russia is messing with us. You know, that is real. That's the choir there. You can hear them. Maybe they just incorporated it in.
Real choir, real voices singing.
Yeah, I think it's a great mix. It's Russia and the Mind Flayer. They don't know they're necessarily synchronizing in evil, but they are. And
synchronizing in evil.
Yeah. And just like last episode, I talked about how the synths don't have the same coldness as the previous upside down themes. They have more flesh and blood.
Yeah.
This has clear Russian influences, both the marching rhyme, the marching rhythm, and the typical kind of minor notes that come with a lot of Russian music. It's super cool.
I agree. That's really cool.
Yeah. I hope we hear this theme more because I think the Russians are going to be the bad guys through the rest of the thing, but who knows?
I think you're right. Okay, so let's move on to our question of the episode. So what is going on with Hopper and Joyce's relationship? Because the last two episodes, we have just really sweet emotional moments where Hopper is opening up to Joyce. And then, you have that tear moment that was actually my feeler moment of the last episode. where he just looks up at her with such love. This episode, they are just so irritated with each other. They don't want nothing to do with each other. Even Murray's like, oh, you two lovebirds, take it somewhere else. Lovebirds? No, no.
I think they're both at a 10, Kathleen.
Yeah.
Season one, Hopper and Joyce have no idea what the Upside Down is. Season two, they battle the Upside Down again. Season three, now, they're just instantly engaged at, you know, extreme action mode. And they're single-minded. They're both Joyce in season one.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I do kind of agree with... They've been through hell the mm-hmm. last two seasons, and they are just, like, frayed along the edges.
Yeah. And they, like we talked about the difference between them calling Alexei Smirnoff and Alexei, you know, their different styles define them.
Yeah.
Of how they do this. And they're meeting some friction here. Normally their path is to come together and share what they've learned, but they're having to learn it together. And there's a little bit of, friction.
It's actually also true to a relationship too. You're not always like lovey-dovey. I mean, we are, of course. We never fight.
Off air, we would have never even had a single fight.
Because I'm always right. But, you know, there's normal friction in relationships and you're just experiencing that. It's just that they haven't actually gotten together yet, but they're like an old married couple.
Mm-hmm. They've known each other for so long, right? Yeah. It's clear that since high school.
Mm-hmm. I loved middle school, I think.
Yeah, there's a line earlier in the season where Hopper says, haven't been stood up like that since, you know, Alice something in ninth grade. Clearly, knowing that Joyce knows that incident.
Yeah. You
know, so they've known each other a long time. All right. Chapter 5 done. Anything else on your notes?
I think we have covered it all.
All right, we'll be back for chapter 6. My name is Miles.
I'm Kathleen.
Good night.